Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What's Right with Men, a weekly radio program dedicated to exploring and discussing what it means to be a man in a post-feminist world. Now here are your hosts, John Freeman and Roger Wetzel.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and good evening to people in the UK. Hi, John.
Hi, Roger, and hi, everybody.
How are you doing this week?
Excellent, thank you. And you?
Good. I'm doing great, thanks. And today is going to be a really interesting show because this week we're going to be talking about what men want from women, which kind of piggybacks off of what we had last week, which was a show, for those of you who missed it, with our guest Dale Bach, who discussed what women wanted from men. And before we get started, I want to give out the number for people to call. It's area code 347-205-9869. Again, that's 1-347-205-9869. And so the question that we posed is on our Facebook page and on our new website, by the way, which we'll give out information at the end of the show, is why do men think and act the way that we do? What do men think about love and relationships, and why are we so different, or are we? And John, do you want to say a little bit about that as before we get started? Because I have some things to share, too. So.
Oh, you carry on.
All right. Well, I found this quote by a guy. His name is Scott Hunter. He's a leadership coach, and I'm on his email list. And I got this a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it's a really good way to start off the show. And his quote says, "We'll start with my observation that we have a story about almost everyone in our life. In other words, we don't just observe other people and stay completely neutral about who they are. We make up, not necessarily realizing that we do it, a story about who they are. And here's the worst part about this. The story tends to be critical and judgmental. Even when the story is nice or loving, that's not so great either." So when I was reading that and getting ready for this week's show, the question that came up for me is, what are the stories that we as men make up about women, and what are the stories that women make up about men? And like I said earlier, we had a great guest and a great show last week about what women wanted from men, and now it's our turn. So, I think it's interesting that we look at the stories that we've grown up with, that we've carried with us throughout our lives about being in relationship with the other sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so another quote I found, too, that I think is really interesting, and then we'll really get into the meat of things is here, is what women think men want from them causes women to have resentment and anger toward men and feel hopeless about ever developing a wonderful, warm, romantic partnership. What men think women want from them causes them much of the same feelings and frustration. So, you know, as we get started, I mean, I think it's really important, John, that we realize that, you know, A, we've created these stories, and B, there's frustrations on both sides of the fence and when it comes to relationship.
Yes, for sure. Though I did feel that that last quote you gave was a bit on the pessimistic side for my taste. I didn't really want to buy that one too strongly. I mean, there's an element of truth in that, and it did remind me of something that George Carlin said, which was that women are crazy and men are stupid, and the main reason women are crazy is because men are stupid. But yeah, I guess I'm a little bit more interested in the kind of the stories or assumptions side of it, because one thing I recognized quite a long time ago, and it was just coming back to my mind today, was that I don't know if I had any things that I thought I wanted from women, besides the fact that I had a sex drive like everybody else. I don't think I had a frame for that question, but I did have a set of assumptions, which I suppose are a form of story, and those assumptions were based on thinking that my relationship would look like my parents' relationship.
Interesting.
Which isn't to say that my parents' relationship was totally wonderful, but though it wasn't bad, it was just, well, that's what it is, that's what men and women in relationship look like. And so I think for quite a long time I was just going forward with the expectation that whatever I could create in relationship would look something like what they'd had and what they still had, back in those days.
Yeah, and what's interesting, as you're talking, and I think it was one of the things that came up for me as we were preparing for the show, is that we all have these wants and desires. You know, when we look at the other sex, when we think about getting in a relationship. But the question, the real interesting thing is, just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, is that we don't have like a clear-cut list, right, in our back pocket. Although I knew a guy that had a list one time, and he was never in a relationship. it's like, because nobody could match up to the high expectations that he had, right? And I remember having conversations with this guy. It's like, you need to like relax and not be so like stick to the list, because you're never going to find anybody that perfect, right? But I think it's interesting too what you're saying, because that is like our first, for a lot of us, our first experience in observing relationships, right? And is our parents. And I guess that influences mightily as we go down the road of life, so to speak. But, I think, too, one of the things, one of the things I got out of Dale, our guest last week, was a couple of things, communication and the ability to express emotions and feelings in relationship is something that's big for women. And I don't know about you, but John, and in my experience, it's like women want to talk about feelings and they want to talk about they're emotional and they want to talk. And I remember, I'll never forget this. It's like the first woman that asked me how I was feeling, I said, I'm feeling fine. And she just kept drilling, it's like, no, I want to know how you're feeling. I said, I feel fine. No, I want to know how you're feeling. It's like, I've already told you, right? What she was trying to get at is we all have feelings, but I thought I was just feeling fine that day, But the interesting thing about it is as a male, we're taught not to be emotional. We're taught as when we're young, don't cry. If you cry, I'll give you something to cry about, right? Those kind of things. Did you get those messages?
No, I didn't get it in the form you just described. I'm glad to say, but yeah, yes, the social message generally was that boys don't cry. And I don't think anybody ever really talked about feelings in my presence. I suspect they weren't talking about them in my absence either. I just think, to some extent, the thing about feelings, I think, is relatively recent. Both kind of even for women, I suspect there's been more of a focus on feelings, and certainly for men, there's been more of a focus on feelings in the last kind of 20 or 30 years than there used to be, because I think people used to just kind of, they used to think they have to get on with it, and that, I think that was true even of women back when I was growing up.
Right. And I think too, in this whole dynamic that we're discussing, is that women operate from an emotional place, like they're in touch with their emotions, they're able in a lot of ways to express emotions. Men operate from a logical place. Right. So right there, I mean, you look at it that, and you go, okay. So there's a huge disconnect there. So and part of what this show is about, I think, is to be able to recognize those things and bridge those, so that we can be able to have better relationships, know how to communicate more, do all of the things that we've talked about. And with that said, I believe we have a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the
show.
Hi
there. Thank you.
Hi.
I just had a little brief thing to say about lists and making lists, if you don't mind. My name is Elka.
Hello, Elka.
Hi there. Hi, John.
Hi.
I'm a minister amongst many other jobs, and so I'm called to marry people time and again. And I had a client who came to me and said, you know, I found the woman of my dreams. A couple of years ago, he went on bended knee before his version of God and said, all right, this is what I want. And he listed it all out, from her blonde hair, blue eyes, what she looked like, and being a powerful woman in herself, and passionate and compassionate. And he got every single thing on that list, by the way, Roger. Every single thing. So we had our initial meeting with she and he, you know, and planned their wedding, and it was the wedding, you know, the big wedding. They're both adults, well into their adulthood at the time. He was 43, she was 38, I want to say. And but, you know, the big wedding with the string quartet and beautiful, beautiful place, and it was gorgeous. It was lovely. I was very happy about the way it turned out. I get a call from him about 2 months later, and she left him. 2 months.
Wow.
And, he was beyond upset. I mean, this is a very, very generous and kind human being. You know, I've known him for quite some time, and I didn't see it coming. I mean, I did see that they might have challenges, but I didn't see this coming. And so he said, Elka, here's what I don't understand. I made my list. I got everything on my list. And I said to him, well, John, you know, women are not lists. You got everything on your list, but there's always an and. Men are not lists. Women can make all the lists they want about their dream man, and they can have that dream man, but there's always an and. We are and. We're not lists. So that was my comment.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Elka. I think that's a... that's a great comment. I mean, we could do a whole show, I think, on what I think about making lists, because there is, firstly, the kind of the notion of the arrogance that people have in thinking that they really know not just what they want, but exactly what it's going to look like and what kind of package it will show up with, and that they will also get what they need. And I also have a strong perception about lists when people have done that, because I've come across other people who've done this and who've got what was on the list, and then they found out what they didn't put on the list. And one of the things that strikes me about the story you've just told is that, you know, the thing that might not have been on the list is somebody who's going to feel that I'm just right for them.
Yeah.
One of my Facebook buddies yesterday was who's kind of he's decided in his mid 30s that at last he's he thinks he ought to be looking for a permanent partner, and he was asking on Facebook rather bravely what were the things that he should be asking for in himself, and the response that I put was the first thing is you want somebody who loves you. And it's almost like for me, the rest comes after that, because without that, it doesn't matter whether she's blonde or what shape she is or what kind of economic status she's got or any of the other things that people might put on a list. It's almost like that none of those matter. And what I kind of feel that this relates to in the question about what men want from women, and particularly around the notion that I'm not sure how clear men are about what that is that if you were to write a list from the place of kind of thinking what the package needs to look like, it's very easy not to really get to the core of what's really wanted and what's really needed.
Yeah, and I'd like to add too that I think that number one, what is and John and your friend, I mean, he's looking for someone now. It's like, what's his? And you say find somebody that loves you. I think the most important thing is as he's going through that process, is to be able to identify what love means to him and how he wants to be loved, and then be able to communicate that with whoever he potentially finds himself with. Or the, you know, because if again, there's that whole thing, and I'm just so... It makes me nuts, because I think, you know, if we're not talking in the same language, right, if we're not using the same definition, coming from the same understanding, then we're going to be missing a lot in a conversation, in a relationship, whatever it is. And so I think for anybody, it's like, what does love mean to you? And then we can, we have that as a base to move forward from. But also, I think if Elk is still there, one of the things that I'd also like to address in that whole thing about the list that her friend made is that you can't account for a person's lack of maturity and their ability to look out of them, outside of themselves, and how that would affect a relationship in another person, right? And that's a huge one as well, right?
I'd like to say a little something about that, if I may. Am I still on the air?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you are.
Great. And that is one thing fascinating about this couple. When they were a couple, they lived together for about a year. They processed the heck out of the relationship, you know, because they did know that they were very independent beings, and they each brought baggage. And he was very, very, very good, especially he, in bringing all this baggage up front and center and dealing with it and handling it and et cetera. And that's what was so shocking when finally she left, because still and all, we are very complex beings, women and men both. And like I said, there's always the and. the other thing that I want to say is just share a little bit of something from a colleague of mine who teaches a class on form versus essence. Form, you know, the list.
Right.
The blonde, the blue
right.
hair, or blue eyes, etc. Versus essence. And I think she's really got a great point. If we would come more from our essence and the essence of the what you want to experience out of a friendship or a relationship, like openness or fun or joy or contribution of I don't know. There's a number of words that one can come up with, and but if you can get sort of the feeling of the essence of what you want to experience, I think that would perhaps save a lot of grief. So that's all
right.
I need to say about that.
Okay. Well, thank you. Don?
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Robin, you wanted me to respond to that?
If you have one.
Yeah. Well, I think what Elka said is right at the heart of what I feel about lists and why, in a way, they can be really quite superficial, because they take you into the realm of a fantasy rather than a reality, which is about the feeling. And I think how it speaks to where we are, to where men are in relation to the question of what the men want from women, is that not looking at the essence is kind of why we find it hard to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like there are some kind of general things that I think are probably in common for men and women, that when you think about what you want in a relationship, there's a sense that, well, you probably want some ability to share each other's interests, and you want companionship and liking and affection. But in terms of what that looks like from one person rather than another, that gets quite hard to pinpoint. And I think my experience, having asked the question of a few people during this last week, because I wanted to see what other people had to say about what other men had to say about what they want from women, is actually it's not a question that people find easy to answer. And it's almost like, well, there's a sense of wanting to be able to continue to be the people we are, but having somebody else to share that with. And I think one thing that comes up quite strongly in what I see around men, but which we don't recognize and wouldn't voice, is that men really like to be able to do things for other people. There's quite a strong motivation to support and to care. And, there's this thing that regularly comes up in what other people say about what women want and what men want and how conversations go, that women, the thing about sharing feelings is that what women simply want is to share those feelings. Whereas men's response immediately that feeling doesn't sound completely happy is that they want to fix it.
Right, right.
And we often, I think, bump into that at the kind of, at the surface level of how that doesn't work, that isn't what the women wanted. But I don't think we always recognize the depth of what's underneath that, in how important it can be for a lot of men, not for all men, to feel that they have this kind of purpose of taking care and you know, it's the flip side perhaps of what Dale was saying last week about, you know, there's a place in women where they want that strength and that protectiveness and that, you know, feeling that somebody is looking out for them. I think there is a male counterpart to that, which is the desire to take care, the desire to protect, and
right.
that it runs quite deep.
Yeah, it's like there's two things. There's two things that are quite deep, and that is that, and it's kind of in our DNA, and it goes, you know, it goes back to God knows how many thousands of years, but that whole idea of being the protector and the provider, right? Be able to, you know, and to understand that, you know, for men to understand that, right? Number one, and look at that for themselves, and what does that mean? And then be able to have those kinds of conversations. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that you were saying just a minute ago in regards to this, I was, and it's kind of a segue into my list of what I personally think that women would be beneficial for women to understand about men. But back to your point for a minute, I was listening to an interview with Dale Earnhardt, right? And for those outside of the U.S. who don't know about him, he's a race car driver. His dad was one of the best race car drivers ever, and died, oh gosh, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago. And they were interviewing this guy yesterday, Dale Jr., and one of the things that came up was, why are you having so much more success recently than you have in the past? And he said, well, the first thing is Amy, right, who turns out to be his girlfriend, and how she's brought something to his life that has allowed him to, you know, to almost kind of relax more into who he would like to be as a man, right? And this woman has given him this gift, however it appears, to be able to be calmer within himself. And as a result, he's having more success professionally, which I thought was like, it was like, oh, this is really good information for what we're going to talk about today. But, and I think that too, John, I think, and you know, it's that as men, we identify ourselves in the following ways. Like who are we, what we do, and how much money we make, right? And it's been kind of ingrained in us. And I want to ask you this. Think about this for a second. Like, you go to a party and you introduce yourself to a guy that you've never met before. Within 10 seconds, what's one of the first questions that's asked of one another?
What do you do?
Absolutely. And that's how we interact with one another, especially initially. And also, I think we're in competition and we judge one another by what the answer to that question is, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of that out there. I mean, that's a cultural thing.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know whether that would have been true if you'd, you know, been doing the same thing 100 years ago. I suspect, you know, it's very much how life is these days rather than how men are. That's what we're kind of brought up to think is important, and what we're brought up to think is important about being a man is what do you do, and kind of you know, all the status stuff that goes with that.
What do you do? How much you make? Right.
And then not in this country. Not the second question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's just me. But I think
I don't think so. I think that's a US UK difference.
Okay. Yeah, because you did live here for a while, so you do have mm-hmm. that perspective. So I don't know where I found this, but I thought it was really important to share too, as we go into as we enter into this territory in the next few minutes. It says, unconditional support from our women is what will snap us out of our boyish behavior and inject us with a desire to be a stronger man. Only when you accept us as we are, who we are, will we want to become someone better. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty potent. I'm not sure if that isn't also true of, I think that might be a good recipe for human living that would apply to how we as men would treat women as well as the other way around.
Right.
But yeah, one of the things I think is destructive in relationships. Actually, what's just flashed through my head is a quote from there's a book called Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, and there was something I've remembered ever since I first read it. A quote that runs something like, Nurse Suan Duckett thought Usarian was the most perfect and wonderful man that she'd ever met, and immediately set about changing him. And there's a kind of place within that, I think, that there is a thing for that. Sometimes I think women make men their project.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, I come up with a few things that I think that men would really like to have from women. But before we get in that, I want to give out the number here for people to call in and participate in the show. It's area code 1-347-205-9869. That's 1-347-205-9869. And you're right. I think, I look back on some of the relationships that I've been in, and I was quite a project, but it wasn't anybody else's project. I was my own project, and it took me a long time to get to where I've gotten, right? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can look back and think about different times and different relationships where it's like, yeah, you know, it's like underlying thing of let me change you that exists, right? Let me make you who I want you to be, which is never going to work for anyone because we are we're all individuals, right? But I think to kind of get to the heart of today's show is I want to share a few things about what I think women want. And John, I know you have some things, and we'll just put those out there. So for me, I think the first thing is I heard this comment for years growing up, and I think everybody that's listening heard this one too, and it's behind every successful man is a strong woman, something to that regard, right? And it wasn't until the last few years that I really personally understood what that meant. And I think it goes to what the interview that I heard yesterday on the radio with Dale Earnhardt Jr. about why he's more successful now than when he was younger, right? And I think one of the things that as men we really desire is to be in a relationship with someone who has our back no matter what, right? That when we go out the door to go to our job every day, that there's somebody there that that will be happy to see us at the end of the day, right? And where we can let our guard down and we can be just be who we are, right? And I think also that if women understood that and really got that fact, that they would get more from their men, right? It's like we're very simple, right?
Well, yeah. I think this, I don't disagree with what you're saying, because I think it is enormously powerful for men to have that from women. But it does. There's a danger of it sounding a little one-sided, which I don't think it needs to be. And there's also, I think, the original quote that you gave about behind, you know, every successful man is a strong woman, that always to me seemed pretty double-edged, because in some cases that could be that there was somebody who was really supportive and had your back. In other cases, it was that there's somebody who's pushing you like crazy because you're kind of historically, I think this was often the truth, because of women not having roles in society, that the men who succeeded because they had really ambitious wives who were using their men as kind of surrogate expressions of their wish for success. So that one can kind of, I think, potentially cut in both directions. And I do want to say again, I think we all need and deserve the maximum of support from each other, and that ideally goes beyond our partnerships, but it's certainly it's essential in partnership for people to get the best of each other. And the quote that you gave right at the beginning of the show that I felt was a bit pessimistic and negative, I think the piece that I did resonate with it is that we do come into relationships in all aspects of relationship. We come in with judgments and tendencies to judge and to decide what's right and what's wrong, rather than to be in awareness and allowance of who people are and who they need to be, so that there's the chance for people to find their own self-expression and their own way to be more.
Totally, I agree with that. I think if you can let down those judgments and allow and create that space of allowance for people to emerge into who they truly wish to be, right, and be able to support that, I think that's kind of what this idea of behind every successful man is a strong woman. Well, and behind, I think that it's a reciprocal thing. And if from a healthy perspective, it's very, very positive. But it's also it's not something that happens every day either. And it can be taken off in a different direction, and it can be used in a negative light. I mean, we have we had a president here in the U.S. who for 8 years, everybody said he was, he wasn't the one. It was his wife that was driving everything, right? I don't necessarily believe that. That's the perception and the judgment that people had. And she's probably
I think they were a team. They both shared that goal, and I think
right.
They still do.
Right. And again, it goes back to that whole. It goes back to that thing that I said just a couple of minutes ago. It's like it's like men aren't complicated, right? We're just not. I don't think that I'm that complicated, although my head creates grand scenarios of being complicated. But I think in that dynamic of support where you support one another, right? If a man feels like he's supported no matter what he does, he will give more of himself and step up more. And that's how I see it.
I wouldn't want to disagree with that, and I do. I think some of the simplicity that I think is true for men is that there's a certain mix of wanting to support and contribute and protect and be useful and needed and wanted. But there is another side of that which is to want space.
Absolutely.
And I think that can be for some women that can be a little bit harder to understand because it feels like a rejection. You know, why doesn't he want to be with me? Why doesn't he want to be sharing and hearing all the things that I've got to say?
Right.
And so there is a blend of things going on here. That I think for women who've kind of found it difficult to understand that place with men, and particularly with men who are out there doing, you know, who may be out there doing more challenging roles because of the tendency for, you know, that the whole breadwinner thing is that part of what men think they have to do and have gone and done is to really climb the corporate pole or you know, do more in their work in their work environment than a woman would think was balanced because, you know, there is more of a motivation in women that they're typically balancing the needs of the family or actually even that they have a different sense of what the priorities are. And this isn't anything against, you know, equality. People should have what they want. And if women want to do the same thing that men have been doing, well, you know, by all means, go for it.
Right.
But for women who haven't done that and who have, it's like, you know, there are men who they want to come home and actually the thing they would most like to do when they get home is, you know, spend an hour playing video games or vegging out in front of a sports game. And it's not, it's actually a kind of, it's part of the mechanism of that's how the unwinding happens. And if you're allowed to do that in whatever way is natural for you as a man, after that you actually have space to do what the woman wants. But if you've come home and the woman has been kind of on her own or with the kids all day, and what she thinks is, oh, at last, you know, there's somebody who's ready to be with me, that can cause a great deal of conflict because it's a mismatch of what a lot of men need with what a lot of women need, and it's very misunderstood.
Absolutely. It's that whole concept of the man cave, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I know that's important for me as well, as I'm sure it is for you and most men. But to be able to explain what that is, like as I'm listening to you talk about it, I'm trying to think, so why what is that? What's that about? And right now, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know what that's about. I don't know where that drive comes from. I don't know where that need comes from of having to have that space, other than knowing that I do, right? And to be able to have that recognized as not being a personal thing, that it's just something that that we do, that we need, that we have to have at times. I mean, having that understanding is huge, right? And
again, it kind of used to be normal for men to go fishing. I guess for some men it probably still is normal to go fishing. But it was like somehow that space was necessary.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the first one is, you know, on my little list of things was support, right? Men love and would really like to have that support. I think the second thing is, and it kind of goes to what Elka was talking about with her friend who got married and the woman left 2 weeks later, right, is loyalty, right? That no matter what happens in my life, right, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's awesome, whether whatever it is, knowing that that person is going to be there for you, right? And I think especially these days, it's so easy to say, you know what, I have so many options, I'm out of here. And I think to build a deep relationship, there's a sense of, and I know that this word, you know, I even, when I say it, it kind of makes me cringe a little bit, but at the same time, I think that there's some truth in it, and that has to do with, it's the loyalty piece, right? And what do you have, what do you say, any?
Well, loyalty is it's important to men. It's certainly important to women. I mean, I think for women, what I see and what I heard Dale say last week is that there's a definite fear around what they around the fact that what's presented about what men want is that, well, you know, men just want sex. And I got cross watching some stuff from Stephen Harvey earlier this
right.
week, because there's such a strong perception, which, you know, that may be, well, that's part of you know, some of the historical black culture is that there's a particular kind of macho place for men to come from, but I'm not sure how much difference there really is there, or how much comes from just Stephen's own perception. You know, it may be that he's got really strong views about what he wants, and he's clearly very dedicated to his family and to his wife, and maybe he's, you know, really had to work hard in order to manage his own sex drive so that he doesn't spend all his time looking at other women or wanting to go off with other women. But the place that he comes from is the assumption that that's what men want to do, and that, you know, women have to somehow kind of protect themselves against that. And so,
you
know, the unspoken question when we say what do men want is that, well, we'll talk about everything but the number one thing, which would be sex. And, you know, not that I'm kind of going to deny that sex is a really strong drive, but I think that completely misrepresents who men really are and what they truly want.
Well, I think when we're younger, I think that's like what drives males. I personally, I think that it's like, I mean, you know, we don't get into emotions and we don't get into feelings, but the one thing that we will ask our friends when we're younger is, did you get laid last night, right? Especially if we know that you're going out with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's different for different people. I think that sex is a huge piece of things. And, you know, I look at myself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and things have changed. But for me, there's always that underlying sexual aspect to who I am, right? And I think it's the way that, I think that sex is a way for men to reconnect, right? It's how we recharge. It's how we connect with women. It's how we connect, you know. And so I think that it is a big deal. And I think that there's a big, I think, and I would love to do a show about this in the future, because I think like what Dale was talking about last week in this regard, was that, and if I'm missing your point, John, here, just tell me. But I think that sex is one of those things that people are scared to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's especially in a relationship that where whatever's happened to people in their past, whatever thoughts, whatever ideas have been put in their head about it, it's like, and I know we've all experienced the fact where we've been in a relationship with someone where the sex was really horrible, right? But nobody wants to talk. Nobody will say, hey, you know what? forgive me. It's like, you really suck at this, right? Nobody will say that, right? It's like, here, instead of saying, here's how I like it, here's what I want, and I think Dale was talking to this last week. This is how I like it. This is how I'd like you to do it, right? For most of us, we all think we're experts, but we're not. So there's this whole, God, there's just so much around this topic. But I think for me, in this conversation that we're having here is that, yeah, sex is really important to men, and it's a way that we connect, and it's a way that we recharge ourselves, and we get to that deeper place, right?
Well, yeah, but in saying that, which is more important? Once you're past the age of, you know, 25 or whatever, is it the sex that's more important or the connection?
I don't think the connection is. I don't think the connection comes at 25. I think the connection comes at some point in our lot in that. What's the word I'm looking for? In the timeline of our growth and our maturity and our opening up to more of who we are, right, as beings. As men, I think there comes a point where we cross a threshold and say, okay, this is what I really want, right? But until we get to that threshold, until we have that experience, until we have that aha moment, it's just about getting laid, man, right? But then there's something that clicks, and it's like, okay, now I want to have this deeper connection with someone.
If what women want is connection, do they all need to be marrying older men?
No, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for women, man. Don't put me in that spot.
No, well, I'm just playing. You know, I don't expect you to answer that any more than I could, but it just prompted a question because I kind of feel that whole thing about connection is kind of pretty central to what happens between women and men, and I'm not sure. It feels quite difficult to say any more about that, but it's the place that I think humanity currently often fails to go and fails to discuss, and it's the fact that we don't talk about what's happening in sex, or that a lot of people seem not to or can't share that there's much more to it than that. What does it take to create depth of relationship?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of why we're doing the show to ask these questions and to have conversations, and and get input from our listeners. And again, if you want to call in, it's 347-205-9869. But I think that there's so many conversations that don't get had, right? That including sex, right? There's a disconnect where we're not again, we go back to that. I go back to what I said earlier. It's like women operate from more of an emotional place. They're more comfortable with emotions. Men are more logical, right? So how do we cross the build a bridge to be able to have those understandings and to go from the, to be able to build from there those deeper relationships.
Yeah.
So, let me see. What was I going to say? So far today we've talked about support, loyalty, and sex. But I know that there's a lot of other things, and one that happened to me yesterday, right, is in communication, male-female communication. It has to do with what men say and what women hear, right? And I was doing some work for the show, and then after I was done with getting prepared, I had a conversation, and boom, there it was, right there. And it has to do with women reinterpreting what we say. And it's like, I think the conversation went something like this. How did it all go? It went fine. Everything's good. And then like 2 minutes later, all of a sudden it's like, well, are you sure? Are you sure everything's fine? Are you sure everything's good? It's like, well, if everything wasn't fine or if there was something wrong, I would say that there wasn't. But no, everything was great, right? And I don't know about you, John, and probably in the audience, some people might have experienced that. But it's like men, it's like for the most part, men will say what's going on. I mean, obviously, there's a fine line in there where we can mask and put up a wall of protection. But at the same time, in a lot of instances, we say what's going on with us, and that's it. I mean, is that your experience?
Yes, I think a lot of us, a lot of people, a lot of men would, and I think there's some men who are very well trained to hide everything they think, and it's so much a habit that they'll say fine even if it's not, because they've not even asked themselves the question, let alone allowed it from anybody else. I mean, I'd love to see some feedback on what we're saying, and I know there's a good number of people who listen to this show, and they're doing offline because of the timing and so on.
Right.
But we've now got a forum up on our website, and we've now and we've got the Facebook page, and there are places I would really like to hear what the responses are to everything that we've saying, because I think there's a lot that we're not yet yet touching, and I think there's a lot of different perceptions out there that I would certainly like to hear from people, because there's more to go with this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give out the information. Our Facebook page is What's Right About Men. We have a new website. The URL is www.rightaboutmen.com. We would really love to have your input, not only in what we're saying in today's show, but also to give us ideas of what you'd like us to talk about in the future. And I think what we were going to do, I mean, we were hoping to get all of this done in one show about, that's funny, what men want from women. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to continue this show and this conversation next week, John, because I think there's a lot more to get to. And so if you're out there and you're listening and you want to ask us questions or give us feedback, whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. And also we have a email, writeaboutmen@gmail.com as well. So, John, any closing thoughts?
No, I think that desire to hear more of what others think, and yes, there's lots of areas that we haven't yet covered, and so it would be nice to have people's input before we go into the next parts of this next week.
Okay, well, I want to thank everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.